All right, if you would take your Bibles and find the book of Philippians. The book of Philippians. This book is written to the church there at Philippi, and Paul is just really trying to encourage them. They're doing a lot of things right, and he talks about joy. Sometimes we think, well, this book's all about joy. This book is about joy in Christ. That's where you get your joy from, and as you study it and you read through it, you find out it's all about living the life that God's called us to live in the power of Jesus Christ. And so as we look at this morning, we're going to look at chapter 4. You can find that. We're just going to look at some thoughts that Paul has given that really at this time of year sometimes, well, all the time, I guess, we struggle because, you know, if you're breathing, eating, and living today, you have to make choices. And some of the choices in our life are major choices. Our young people in here are going to have to make choices like, who am I going to marry? Where am I going to live? And what am I going to do with my life? Those type of things. And other choices are not so dramatic. Simple choices like, I got to get up today, and what am I going to eat? And where am I going to, what time do I need to get to work? Or what am I going to wear? Stuff like that. But when you think about this time of year, Christmas coming on, sometimes people get anxious or have anxiety about what's going on with all the shopping and the buying, the presents and all that stuff. Sometimes we make too much of that. I'm guilty of that, you know, you got to go out and get everybody a present. And you got to buy them the right thing, and you got to figure out what it is. And when you got 13 or 12 grandkids, it's hard to, you know, it's like, parents, tell me what to get them. I don't want to go out and shop for all this. But anyway, there's a lot of things that we have to make choices about. Really, what we do and how we live and those choices we make are important. And as we look in just a few moments in chapter 4, I'm going to ask you to stand just a second. We're going to see that there's some difficulties going on in the church here. And Paul's just trying to help them and be encouragement to them about anxiety in their life. And he gives them some thoughts on that. He tells them what they ought to think on that will help them. But he talks about this a little bit, and we're going to just look at it in the next few moments. And I've entitled the message, Anxiety is the Devil's Tool. Do you have the right stuff to overcome worry? The devil, okay? Anxiety is the devil's tool. Do you have the right stuff to overcome worry? Let's stand, and I'm going to begin reading in verse 1 of chapter 4, just going down through verse 9 this morning. It says, Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, and long for my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Odius, I beseech Syntyche, that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labor with me in the gospel with Clement, also with other fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord alway, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Let's pray. Father, again, we do thank you for the opportunity to be here again today. We are grateful that we live in a country that we can still open the Word of God and freely preach the things in the Bible. And Father, we just pray to you this morning that you would help me to be able to relate to the folks here your words, that we might be able to understand them and apply them in our life. For the most important thing that we can do is not just read the Word of God, but take the Word of God at its word and use it, that it might change us. And Father, we just pray you continue to bless, guide, and direct in all things said and done this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. Be seated. Really, 2 points today, and the first one is action is formulated by attitudes. Action is formulated by attitudes, and sometimes we do things or the actions that we do, it's because of the way we think about things. As we look at our passage, Paul mentions several people in the first 3 verses And he talks about in verse 2, I beseech Odias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And so right here we see that as he is mentioning their names, there's something going on. And he's petitioning the fellow Christians to help them. In verse 3 says, and I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, which we're not sure who that is, help those women which labor with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. So these are all Christians that he's talking about. But there's some problems here. We don't know what the problem is. It's unclear. It doesn't tell us anything about it. It could be anything. Sometimes it reminds me of other churches. One time we had a problem with, not in this church, but in another church, which side the piano was on. And people were getting all upset about which side the piano was on. And it just, to me, it's like, who cares? Let's just put the piano there and play it, you know. But some people care about those things. And I guess the pianist would. I don't know. I need to look at it from their perspective. But there was a schism. And often there are things that happen like that. I've heard this over and over again, how people will fight over the simplest things, like the church carpet. When I came here, one of the things I wanted to do was make sure we didn't have a fight over the church carpet. I was only here for the first year, and so the deacons trustees and I went and we looked at some carpet. We checked out what was good, and we brought like 4 or 5 samples to the church, and we gave the church the opportunity to pick. And they did. They didn't pick my color, but that's okay. But the point is that sometimes people get upset about little things, if something's not put in the right place or something like that. And so here, this friction that these two ladies are having, he encourages them to be of the same mind because in the Lord, because something's going on there. There's some friction that's taking place. And friction is very destructive. It causes division. It causes stress. It also leads to anxiety. And here in our passage in verse 6, he says, be careful for nothing. And what he's saying there is really, it's a Greek word that means to be anxious about or take thought of. When he says careful, he says, don't get anxious about things. Don't start worrying over little matters. He goes on and says, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made unto God. So what he's telling us is go to God in these situations. Let's trust him. And I looked up on the web, MD, what anxiety can do to you. And it says it can cause loss of appetite, lack of interest in things. Other symptoms include muscle tension, headaches, insomnia. Frequent panic attacks can cause you to fear. And the fear itself can cause you to have more anxiety attacks. So it's a vicious circle, you know. It can just get in a bad thing. And, of course, all this can lead to, it says here, clinical depression, which maybe that's true. And so anxiety is something that occurs often when our hopes are pulling us one way and our fears are pulling us another, and we're just pulled apart. The old English word for worry is strangle, and that's sometimes what happens when we start worrying about things. And it strangles us. Physically, we get headaches like the WebMD had indicated, neck pain, stomach problems. It affects our thinking. Worry is often wrong thinking. It's the greatest thief of joy as well. It's the devil's tool that he would love to see a Christian strangled in anxiety. Why? Because they're ineffective. They're always concerned about what's not happening. They're worried about things that are not even occurring yet. And they're spending a lot of time doing that. Ten Boom, she said, worrying is carrying tomorrow's load with today's strength, carrying 2 days at once. It is moving in tomorrow ahead of time. Worrying doesn't empty tomorrow of its sorrow. It empties today of its strength. And that's what it does. It really does. And so anxiety, it's there. And sometimes we have it, and it causes us problems as Christians, not just individually, but in families, and of course the church family as well. But how do we get rid of it? How can we this down? Well, second point is anxiety is foiled by trust. Trust is always the remedy for anxiety. Trust is opposite of fear. Fear is worrying at what is next. Trust is being confident and sure of having hope. In Proverbs 3:5-8, a very familiar passage says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart Lean not unto thy own understanding. That's what happens when we have anxiety come into our lives. What we're doing is we're leaning to our own understanding. And where's that come from? It comes from the experiences we've had. It comes from our education. It comes from our upbringing. All of that brings into account, instead of looking to God and His Word, we're trusting on what we have understood and what we have learned. And all of a sudden, we have these problems and we start worrying. What's going to happen? What am I going to be able to do? How am I going to handle this? Instead of, okay, Lord, help me in this situation. And so often, if we can settle it down and go to the Lord and trust with all our heart, He tells us what happens. In the rest of that verse, it says, in all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. He'll give you the direction you need to go. He'll help you with the plan. It goes on, it says, be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. And talk about strength, physical strength. How do you get that? Trusting in the Lord. That is a byproduct. When you're surrendered to God and you look to Him and trust Him, He's going to be there for you all the time. Now, if we learn to trust God, all that leads into some things. And we're going to look at the passage here that Paul has given to us and to the church at Philippi. He said in verse 4, he said, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Now, do you see Paul's focus? His focus is right. It's looking to God. Every situation that you and I come into, they're not great situations. We get sick. We have problems with our cars, our dishwashers, just all kinds of things come into our life. And sometimes we, instead of just trusting God in those situations, not understanding the outcome, not understanding what God's going to do, we get worried about it. And we let it worry us. And then all of a sudden we find that we have other problems because of the stresses of life come upon us. But we have a right focus. We rejoice in the Lord in those things. When those things happen, when the flat tire happens, when you have an illness, you still should be able to rejoice in the Lord. Why? Because you have something better than anything in the world. That's salvation, a relationship with the Holy God, a time that you're going to spend with Him here till eternity. You're there. And so we have something to rejoice in. And of course, that word rejoice, it means to be cheerful, calmly happy, or well off. And just like he talked about those folks that were struggling, their names are in the book of life. That is something that we can look forward to. When the book of life is open, my name's there. It hadn't been blotted out. I have something special. Not everybody has. So we have a lot to be grateful for. I think about Paul when he was imprisoned in Rome, and he is when he wrote this, by the way, and he knew that it wouldn't be long that he'd be put to death. This is one of the prison epistles. And he understood that a right perspective was imperative to conquering worry. Can you imagine being in a situation you know you're going to die? That could cause a lot of anxiety, couldn't it? A lot of anxiety. But when we can rest in God and trust Him, it makes a whole lot of difference. And that's why Paul, I believe, said twice in verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And he said, and again I say, rejoice. It's important. And he thought it was important. And we need to know that no matter what storm we're going through, that we have Jesus Christ with us. He said He would never leave us nor forsake us in Hebrews chapter 13, 5. In Matthew 28, 20 says, and I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. We have something that's different. And we can rejoice in that. We can have a right focus. But then also a right temperament. Look at verse 5. He says, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. And what is that command? What is that saying? And that is a command, by the way. That's an imperative that Paul is giving to us. Let your moderation be known to all men. Moderation, it means to be mild, gentle, patient. It has the idea of being pleasant, reasonable, fair, gentle spirit, temperate attitude. You know, you think about when people see us, we may be the only Bible they ever read. It's possible. And when they see us, what do they see? Do they see an unpleasant, unreasonable, unfair, harsh person? And then we say, here, read this tract. It'll get you to heaven. They're not going to read that tract. They don't care anything about it. They want to get away from us because of the way we act, because of the way we are. And often people think, if that's Christianity, I don't want any part of it. And I'm amazed at what the lost world knows. Now, I don't haven't experienced this in a long time, but there have been times in my life, especially in the workplace, where someone would say to me, that's not the way a Christian should act. And this is someone who doesn't go to church. This is a lost person. Because he knows what a Christian should be. And that cuts to the quick. Right then and there, you know things aren't right. You're not doing things as you should. And so it's important to let our moderation be known unto all men. Why? The Lord is at hand. That means He's coming back soon. He's right. He could be coming any minute. And it's going to be important that the way we act today, the way we have the influence on somebody right now, is going to make a difference in what they do in their life. It could mean the difference between salvation and eternity in hell. And if we're not careful, if we let worry into our lives, that often leads us to a temperamental attitude. You ever been around somebody who worries all the time? Drives you nuts. I mean, every little thing. I mean, there's so much burden that goes along with that. It's just, I got to think about this, and this is not happening until when or what, or what do you think's going to happen? You know, it's like Chicken Little. The sky's falling. The sky's falling. Well, what's going on? It's snowing, you know. So the sky's falling, or it's raining, or something's coming out of the sky. And some people, you know, get that way. And so we don't want to be in that situation. We need to trust God. When we trust God, it will lead us to a right focus. We can rejoice in the Lord and rejoice again. And again, I say rejoice. We can be moderate, or we can have a right temperament about things. But also, our prayer life matters. Look at verse 6. He says, be careful for nothing. Okay, so he's telling us here, don't be anxious about anything. Okay, I put it in a different vernacular there, a different way. But he says, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So instead of the situation comes up, and I don't know about you, but I'm guilty of anxiety. A child gets hurt. We get anxious. Especially when we see that stuff coming out of their head or their fingers or arms or legs or something. You know, it's like, oh, man, they're bleeding. I remember Johnny, he came up that time, he stuck his hand in the log splitter. I'm not going to tell you how he'd done that. But anyway, he cut it pretty bad, and he cut the tendon. And he had it all wrapped up. Rob threw him in the back of the truck and took off over here. We went out there and looked at it, and we called 911. I think Kurt came over, and we prayed about it. And, of course, they sewed him up. He was okay after that. But you get a little anxious when you see all that blood. And this is something that I try to do, and I'm not perfect in this, but it's going to God. When you find yourself in a situation that's even an emergency, you can still deal with the emergency and petition God. God, direct my path. God, lead me to the right place. God, give me the wisdom to handle the situation, whatever that may be. Now, often, you know, there's training that helps. I'm not trying to belittle those who have studied nursing or EMTs and those things, because those folks have learned some things that help people, no doubt about it. But God will give you the right person to help you if you seek Him first. Instead of worrying about, oh, I don't know, is it going to be all right? Is he going to die or whatever? Lord, please, He's in your hands. He's yours. That's not always easy, I understand. But that's the way we're to pray. Pray rightly. Pray that God will be in the midst of it, that God would take care of it. And so we learn that. And so having a right focus, a right temperament, and right praying all result in what verse 7 tells us. It says, and. So it said, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And this is a result. The peace of God. Isn't that what we're looking for? The peace of God? It's amazing to me that when we do this and He gives us that peace, and that's what happens when we pray about those situations, all of a sudden that anxiety goes away. All of a sudden we're resting in the Lord, and all of a sudden He gives us peace in the situation. Now, we still may have to deal with something. We still may have to take action on something. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about He gives you the comfort to know what to do and how to do it and to respond in a right way. And it just brings it in your life. And that's that peace that, like he said, passeth all understanding. I can say I've experienced that before. In April, when I went down to get the transplant, they called me up on a Monday. We were shopping. And they said, we got some organs. You want them? And we said, yeah, we want them. What we got to do to get them? And they said, well, we got to check them out first, make sure they're okay. I'll call you back in an hour. So we made our way to Farmington. They call us back and says, you want them, come get them. And so we said, we'll be there. And so we had the trailer and stuff, and Adam came down, got the trailer at Kingfield. We got our car, and we took off. Went down to Boston. Got there about midnight. And the next morning, a guy came in at 6, I think he said. He says, your surgery's supposed to start at 6, but they don't ever start on time, so don't get worried. And so I said, oh, fine, fine, you know. But I don't know what it was, but that's in that time of my life. Now, I'll tell you what, sometimes I'll go to the phlebotist or whatever you call those people who draw your blood, sometimes I get a little nervous because I've been pricked and stuck more than once to get blood. You know what I mean? They hit it or they don't hit it and go, wow, it's not. The worst part I don't like is when they stick the needle in your arm and instead of pulling out and sticking it somewhere, yeah, they start rolling around like this, and I'm going, really? Really? And then the needle's this long, and they stick it all the way in there, and finally they hit something. So we got it. I said, yeah, I could tell. So I know what anxiety feels like sometimes, but going through the surgery and all that took place, never did I have anxiety about it at all. I was at peace through the whole thing. And that was God. He gave me peace. It was the prayers of God's people. It gave me peace. And so that's what we want, though. We want to have that peace, the peace of God which passeth all understanding. And that's what it is. We don't always understand it. How can you have peace when your child is bleeding? You have peace right now? Yeah, I do. I know that I need to do something here, and I know I'm going to act upon this, but I'm not going to worry about it. You know, what does worry accomplish? Does it make you move faster, make you have better choices? Does it give you wisdom in the situation? What does it do? It causes stress. So here's the situation. Instead of having peace of God, you have stress in your life. And so when you're trying to help somebody else, all of a sudden, I got a heart attack. I mean, seriously. Stress does that to people. And so we have to learn that we want to give it to God because He'll give us the peace we need. Peace when, I can remember when we were going to Matt and Brandy's house, they were having a getting together, and we got up there and had a flat tire. I think Johnny changed it or somebody changed it for me. But anyway, we were there and I got a call. And the call was from Elizabeth. And I said, how's it going? She said, Dad, we were going on visitation. We were in a van and the van flipped. And we're in it. One guy, his head was pinned to the ground because his head went out the window or whatever. And I talked to her. I said, well, okay, is everybody okay? And she said, well, it seems to be. We're not sure about the guy with the head out the window yet, but the ambulance is coming and all that. And she says, but it looks like everybody's okay. I said, okay. But I had peace even when she called. You know why? Because I knew God was taking care of her. I'm not responsible. I can't be there where she's at. I can't go hold her. I can't pick her out of the van. I can't do any of those things. I've got to trust God to bring the right people in the situation to take care of her. And when we can do that, then we can have peace in the situation. Whatever it is. You know, God is bigger than I am. A lot bigger. He knows more than I do. He knows more about every situation than I do. So why do I think that I've got to be the one to solve it? It doesn't work. It just brings stress in my life. And when we have the peace of God, it stands guard over two areas that cause worry. When you have peace, your heart won't have the wrong feelings. You'll have that right feeling toward God and toward the situation. Your mind will be protected against wrong thinking. And we don't want to think wrongly. But it's easy to do. When I was in service, I used to worry all the time about all kinds of stuff, little things. My first worry before I even signed my name on the paper was, I'm going to get on that ship, we're going to go out to sea, and I'm going to fall overboard, and I ain't going to know about it. I remember thinking that. I'd lose sleep at night before I signed the paper to join the Navy, and I'd say, well, what if I fall off the ship, and I get, this is not sounds like a good idea. But there are a lot of things. I used to worry about everything. What if I run into the weapons officer? What am I going to talk to him about? What's he going to, you know, I don't want to, you know. And just really, it was bad. But now I'm learning that it's a lot better just to trust God instead of worry about things. When you gave your heart to Christ and salvation, we experience peace with God. That's different than the peace of God. Peace with God, Romans 5:1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And what it is we make peace with God. Before we did that, we were the enemy of God. We're no longer the enemy of God. We're a child of God. We're His. We're adopted into the family of God. We've been redeemed, born again, blood bought. We're different. And through that, God wants to give us the peace of God that we can trust Him in everything. So if we learn that trusting God gives us peace with God and that we can act on that trust, then right thinking is going to help us. Look at verse 8. And this is what he's telling us. He says, finally. So he's coming to the conclusion here of this particular text, and really almost the whole book pretty much is where he starts the conclusion here. He says, finally, brethren, he's talking to Christians, whatsoever things are true, he says. And so he's trying to help us to have this right thinking. In Isaiah 26:3, it says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. That peace comes on trusting God completely. And Proverbs 23:7 says, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. And Paul tells us that we are to think in certain ways. He says, think on those things that are true. I heard a statistic that only 8% of things that people worry about are legitimate. That means 92% are imaginary or never happen. You know, I believe that's true. And it's amazing. Satan wants you to continue in that position. He is a liar. He doesn't want you to live the truth. He wants to control your thoughts. He can't. But he can put things in front of us to misdirect us, misguide us, mislead us. He can have us learn things that are not correct because we allow those things to be taught to us. But we have victory. And that victory comes through Jesus Christ every time. My problem is I leave Jesus Christ out of it. And I try to fight the battle myself. I get the scars to prove it. And that's what hurts us the most. Because God is there standing in the gap for us. He's there. He's our intermediate. Jesus Christ is ready to do whatever to help us in any situation. If we just trust Him, that's the problem. Trust Him. That means believe that He can do it. Let Him do and work in your life as He sees fit. So often we don't want to do that. So often we don't want to trust God. We make up excuses, and those excuses we think are going to be sufficient. They will not when you stand before a holy God. They'll not be sufficient. They're going to be like the fire, or like the chaff that the fire will burn. You know, that wood, hay, and stubble. It's gone. It's gone. So he tells us to believe that which is true. You know, the devil, he's cunning. Adam mentioned this morning. The Bible says in Genesis 3:1, it says, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. That's not what God said. He has taken the word of God and twisted it. Now God said, you can eat of every tree except. Now the way he makes it sound is you can't eat of any tree. My mother did that to me one time when it was Christmas time, this time of year. She was lost, unsaved. And she asked, what can I get your kids? And she suggested some things. And I said, well, we don't really want our children to have that particular item. And what did she say? What do you think she said? I can't buy your kids anything. I'm going, huh? Is that the only thing on the market? Is that the only thing on the shelf of the store? There's nothing else out there? See, that's faulty thinking. That's the world's thinking. That's the devil leading the world into this philosophy of you can't have it, have anything, when God said maybe there's only one thing you can't have. That's why people struggle with their walk with Christ, is because they think God's taking everything away. There's no fun in the Christian life. No fun and happiness. It's so sad. Oh, you know. devil, he's a liar. In 2 Corinthians 11:3, he says, "But I fear, lest by any means," Paul speaking here, "as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." He said, just as Eve was deceived, we too, he was afraid, would be deceived. And we are many times. But it's only through the Word of God, or the truth of God's Word, that we have that victory. And so Paul is telling us, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, that's what we want to think on. Let's find out what the truth is. I've been listening to a fellow, I'm not going to mention his name, but he has been battling the liberals, and he does a good job on what he does. He's very knowledgeable, pretty smart guy. I think he's a Harvard graduate, but just whatever they tell him or talk to him, he always turns it around, and he asks them a question. Because they say things like, well, you want to kill all the LGBT or whatever people. He says, no, I don't have anything. You got any facts on that? Have I ever said that? Where does that... So he turns it around on him and says, I've never said that. So what the liberals do, they want to pigeonhole everybody in the same mold. Look, I don't hate gay people. I think they're wrong in their lifestyle, okay? I don't hate black people. I think sometimes that they are playing the victim card, but I don't hate them. And so there's some truth to some things, but there's also a lot of people are trying to make things out that they aren't true. And here's what Paul's saying. We're to think on the truth. Let's stay with the facts. Give us the evidence. Show us what's right. Not what other people think or what other people do. We're not supposed to do that. Because when we do that, we're always going to find ourselves in the wrong. Because the truth is God's Word. The Bible says in John 17:17, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." So his next thing he says, whatsoever things are honest. This is something that is worthy of respect. Okay? So think on these things. Think on the honest things. He goes on and says, think on the just. God is righteous. We are not. We need to search out what God says about things. And I'm not saying just go look in the Bible and see if he says, thus saith the Lord, about a certain item that you want to do. Go look at the principles that God is trying to teach us. The deep things of God. Prove that which is excellent. That's what we're to do. He talks about we're to think on things that are pure. That means chaste, free from defilement and impurities. 1 John 3:3, "And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure." That's what we want, isn't it? We're to be holy. Jesus died on the cross to make us holy. And that is all what Paul is trying to explain to us, is by doing these things, thinking on these things instead of the other things that we could think on, it's going to make a difference in our life. It's going to lead us to that holiness that God has called us to. He tells us to think on those things that are lovely. And those are endearing things that God would approve. Lovely. He says, whatsoever things are a good report. Think on those things. Those are well spoken of or worth talking about. Those are good things. And then he goes on and says, if there be any virtue. Virtue is to please. Praise is worth commending to others. He says, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. So we're to think on these things and keep our minds stayed on what God has given to us. And if we do that, we'll not fall in the trap of the devil. We won't find ourselves concerned, and that's the Christian word for worry, by the way. I say it all the time, and I got to be careful with it, but when I say I'm concerned, I need to come up with some better words. Greg uses this all the time. He says, I liked it. He said, he didn't stand up and says, I'm so proud of my daughters. He'd always say, I'm pleased with my daughters. See, it's a different word. It means a different thing. And also gets us away from some of the things that we have problems with. And so we shouldn't be so concerned about things, but we ought to think on things. We ought to be mindful of things, no doubt. Because when we have the right thinking, and that's what Paul is asking us to do here. It really results in following God. And how do we get that? Turn to Psalm 119. You know where I'm going with this. But turn over there real quick. Psalm 119. Now, the whole book of Psalm 119 is good. I always end up in verse 9, but the whole thing is good, so read all of it. But here, in trying to understand what is right and how we're to think, this kind of helps us. It says in verse 9, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? Or wherewithal shall a young man think rightly? Okay? And that's not what it says, but cleanse his way. And when you cleanse your way, you have a right thinking. That's part of it. And it says, by taking heed thereto, according to thy word. What's that mean? Trust in the Lord. How do we take care of anxiety? How do we take care of wrong thinking? By trusting in the Lord. And that's what this is all about. That's why you come to church. That's why when you got saved, you saw the importance of being with God's people, is to learn the truth and to follow the truth. Put it into action. Make it make a difference. Now, that doesn't mean you're ever going to fail. That doesn't mean you're going to have struggles. But it means that you're trying to. You're moving forward. Your focus is trying to do what God wants you to do instead of your faulty thinking. And I don't know about you, but I've got a lot of faulty thinking. I grew up with a TV, okay? That was one of my parents. My dad and mom, when they separated, I had the TV. And there's a lot of bad things on TV, back then even. And the thinking was all skewed to the world. It was subtle then. It's not so much now. You turn it on now and it's a gas. Wow, I can't believe they got this stuff on TV. But we want the right thinking. And the only way to get that is by trusting God. He says in verse 10, he says, with my whole heart. Now, he tells us how to do it. Don't give parts or pieces, but give the whole. I want to do everything that God wants me to do. Everything? Yes. That's how we come into the right thinking, is by deciding, I'm going to do whatever God wants me to do. I told you a story about when I was going to college and I decided I didn't want to come to New England or Florida. Those were my decisions, and there were reasons for it. I didn't know all the reasons, but I had reasons back then. But God changed me. And I surrendered and said, God, I'll go anywhere you want me to go. That's the application of giving your whole heart. And then you surrender and he sends you to New England or wherever. But he says, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. So he's saying, Lord, I got to rely on your strength because I can't do it with my being. I'm not strong enough. I need Christ to help me do this. I want to seek you with my whole heart, but I still have this desire to wander. I need the strength not to. Will you help me do that? And verse 11 says, thy word have I hid mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Right thinking. Think on those things are true. What's true? The Bible. How do you think on that? You meditate on the Bible. You get in there and you find some scriptures. There's some good books out there. What's that one about Promises of God, I think is the name of it. It's a little book and it has sections in it. And it's divided into those sections. Anxiety might be one of those sections. It gives you verses how to combat anxiety. It gives you verses on how to combat other things in your life. And so you can take that and memorize that scripture. It's going to help you. If you find an area that you struggle with, that's going to help you. Maybe you're not faithful in something. That'll help you to learn those verses. And you can, just as Adam mentioned today, you can bring those up over and over again. It'll help remind you and help give you the victory. He goes on and says, blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. Again, he's saying, I can't understand it on my own, but I need your help. He says, with my lips have I declared all thy judgments with my mouth. He's saying, I am speaking of you. I'm talking about you. I'm telling others about what you're doing in my life. Because of my right thinking and my right mind, I speak right things. He says, I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. He said, rejoice. Always, and again, I say rejoice. I can rejoice because I have a God that loves me and cares for me and takes care of me. He meets my need even when I disobey. You know what my need is when I disobey? It's a spanking. But he does that. Why? Because he loves me. Verse 15, the psalmist says, I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. You know, that's what we want to do. Jesus said, I am the way. That's what we want to understand, is that he is the leader of our way. He's the one who gives us the steps that he has ordered for us. He's the one that provides the light and gives us the lamp that guides us and directs us into this life he's called us to live. He says, I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. And sometimes I think that's a problem. We forget his word, and when we forget that, we begin thinking wrong thoughts again. But all of this leads to right living. We're going to wrap this up. In Philippians 1:6, Paul writes, being confident of this very thing, that he, that's Jesus, which hath begun a good work in you, will perform it in the day of Jesus Christ. He's saying, I can trust God to change me the way he wants me to be. He started this when I put my faith and trust in him, and he's not giving up on me. Even though sometimes I give up on him, he's not going to give up on me. We know that Christian behavior is not an automatic result of salvation. It's something that we have to learn through the Word of God. And as we study the Word of God, we learn how to live, where to, how to speak, how to think. All these things are in there. And yes, it does tell us there's some things we shouldn't do. Why? Because God knows it's best for us. And I'll tell you what, the willpower is not strong enough. But God's strength is. You may not be able to overcome something, but through the power of God, you can. The world doesn't have this power. That's why there's alcoholics, drug addicts, these people who are fixed on immorality and can never give it up, because they don't have the power of Christ in their life. We do. And there are testimonies of people that could stand here today and tell you that God gave them the victory in different areas of their life. I can name several that he gave me victory in right off the top of my head without thinking about it. And he does this for all Christians who will trust him. And it's just a choice. It's a choice to trust God rather than to allow the worries, the fears, the anxieties, the wrong thinking to enter into our lives. Anxiety is the devil's way to capture your mind and your life. But trusting God will always lead to a right focus, a right temperament, right praying, to right thinking, and to right living. And through all of this, you and I can have the victory. It's a nice thing. It's a good feeling. The peace of God is what we want. And if you'll follow God's prescription in the book of Philippians, you can have that. You can have that. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the opportunity to be here again today. And we all know that we as Christians, we struggle in lots of areas. This is one of those. But we also know that as we study the Word of God and we apply the truths of the Word of God, we can have victory over even this. When we start to worry, which many of us will, right then and there we need to say, hold, hold it. What are you afraid of? Bible tells us what time I'm afraid, that we can trust in thee or we can trust in God. And so that's a time to say, okay, Satan, get thee hence. God, I need your power and your strength in my life, because I know you can give me the peace even through this situation. And so I want to trust you today. Father, have your way and your will in each life. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.